Blog Hello. Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Shalom. Shalom, Amishka. In other words, to everyone listening, the Lord Jesus Christ and his everlasting gospel, and as a representative, an ambassador and servant of the gospel, and our Lord Jesus Christ, I now speak on this broadcast about the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ's coming, and preparing of a bride and a people. I am Brother Lee. I'm a part of the Church of Christ with the Elijah message, the final trumpet call of Joel, blow the trumpet in Zion, often referred to as the midnight cry in Matthew 25, and the angel of Revelation 14 and 6, Revelation 18 and 1, Zechariah 2, and many other scriptures about the final call, preparation, warning, exhortation, deliverance, refining, awakening, message, the nations of people, to Israel, and to all people, in preparation, make ready for the Lord King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, soon coming. Jesus the Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, the hope of Israel and the whole world. And I'm going to broadcast simply for a simple reason about the most important event that has taken place, and this did take place, the most important event. That's a lot to say, a lot, at the least. I acknowledge the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit, the blood of the new covenant, resurrection of our Lord, and soon coming. And the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to guide and the coming of the messenger of promise, Elijah, to come to restore things. And so I'm saying this to explain to you my call, my commission, why I'm on here, because a lot of people are broadcasting around the whole world. And so I want to say in the first place, everything that I say is open for you to search out, to test it by the scripture, by the Holy Spirit, by the prophets. In fact, I challenge you to test everything to see whether what source it comes from, does it come from the living God. So test. The Bible said test every prophet and his message. Test it. 1 Corinthians 12. Matthew 24. Tell us the test in the latter days, in particular because there will be a lot of voices in Matthew 24 proclaiming this, that, and some of them will be Jesus style them as false prophets and false messengers of false Christ and just deceivers. So I am of this particular thing. Test everything that I say. Put it to the test. And I don't have a problem with people disagreeing with me or saying, you know, negative things if they choose to do so. I don't have any. I would say seriously before you do that, to really check that what I'm saying out, whether it is in line with the gospel, whether the prophets of the Bible or what the epistles said or what the apostles taught, mainly what Jesus spoke and taught. Check it out. Seriously, through the Bible. The book that we call, we now in our English language and the Latin, we call this book of the Revelations, the instructions, the written truth, the instruction, the light from God, about our hope and only hope for all of humanity, only hope. And this is the more important message I'm going over again, because it is the single most important message that any human being can receive in this world, all nations, I mean all people. It's called the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul says in Romans, I think, what is it? I'm not ashamed, Romans 1 and 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want you to understand the power and the importance of that revelation statement by the Apostle Paul, who was called and chosen of the Lord Jesus Christ, proclaim the acceptable, the full gospel plan and the mysteries of the kingdom to all people, as written in his holy scriptures. Apostle Paul states, I am not ashamed to the Roman church. He's writing to the church in the Roman Empire in that day. I am not ashamed because many people are dying, being killed and persecuted in that day, being sought of son of, burned alive, crucified, thrown the lions. And by the way, our test, Christians, as true believers, Christians in the Bible and the gospel, has not come to this in our latter day. We've been in the Western world, in America in particular, has not been really been put to the real test yet. But we're soon at the door of it, being really tested. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The real test of what we are founded on the teachings of Christ, the risen Christ, the Redeemer, is soon knocking at the door of the free, liberated, just, once called the greatest Christian nation, America. The real test of our real faith. Hallelujah. The greatest message to all the nations of the earth and all humanity. And this message is not just for the chosen people of the Bible. Abraham sees called the house of Israel. God chose them for a special work. He chose to come, salvation come through the Israel people, the Hebrew people, through the house of Judah, to bring salvation through the house of Judah. Jesus was born through the lineage of Judah, one of the 12 tribes of Israel, which most of the Jews call themselves Jews by Judah. But remember this, all Israel is 12 tribes, not just two tribes, Judah, not just Jews, but the other 10 tribes of the Israelites, the Hebrews. So we're going to talk about shortly what you have heard basically in part, but on some things you may not have known or understood. So I'm speaking to not just to America, because this gospel I'm talking about is the redemption. The word gospel, Luke chapter 2 in particular, when the angels of the living God came and in the heavens announced to the flocks, to the shepherds, in Jesus before his birth, that an announcement was made about a special event. In fact, the greatest, one of the greatest, part of the greatest event that has happened to the planet Earth is called the Redeemer, the Holy Messiah, the King of the Jews, the Deliverer, was soon to be born. And the angels in chapter Luke, the Gospel of Luke says, the angels loudly proclaimed this to the shepherd who was keeping their sheep by night. Hearken, for unto you is born this day, born in the city of David, Jerusalem, is born who? Christ the Lord. Good tidings of great joy. Christ the Lord, the Messiah, the promised Redeemer. The promise that he made to Adam in the garden, Genesis 3:15, for Adam had sinned and brought damnation, destruction upon the whole human race and death. But the Lord Creator said, Adam, all is not lost. I'm sending an answer solution to the fall of man to redeem them. And so the story about the redemption, which is the gospel, the redemption of man, and who is the Redeemer, the person that God only, the creator of the heaven and earth, had created only one person, one individual in his plan before the foundation of the world, because he knew that man was going to fall, so he had a plan to redeem, said redemption. And the Redeemer is called the Lamb of God. He's called in Scripture the Shiloh. He's called the Lion of Judea. He's called, like I said, the Lamb slain. From the foundation of the world, become the Lamb to be slain for the sins of men. And he's called many names in Scriptures. The High Priest of our profession. Oh, he's going to be called the King of the Jews. Oh, he's called the Chief Cornerstone. which the builder rejected. He was the Holy One of Israel. He was the immaculate, sinless Lamb of God. So we could go on the announcement in the Holy Scripture about the one that had been promised to Adam in the garden, Genesis 3:15, our remedy for man's condition being cursed for sin and death. All of Adam's descendants inherit death because their very nature was sin and death, because Adam was cursed when he disobeyed, and you should surely die. The death was threefold: physical death, spiritual death first, physical death and eternal death at the end, being cast into the lake of fire. But the Lord, being a merciful and compassionate God, knew that what Satan had did, he had planned and replanned and made a plan of, called redemption. Redemption. And part of that plan is called redemption, justification, and reconciliation. That's what the gospel basically consists of. Now, this good news for all people in the Adam's families who came through Adam, all humans, good news, the only and the most important news is called the redemption. And Jesus is the Passover lamb, the atonement, the sacrificial lamb, the scapegoat to bear our sins and our iniquity. He was to be judged in our place. We will not be judged in the end and go be cast into hell. Jesus said, I'll take the wrath. I'll take the penalty, Lord. I'll take the judgment of man, and I'll redeem it. Hallelujah. So he took the wrath and judgment that we were going to be. We were going to be cut off from God. We cut off forever. We're going to be cursed into hell, separation. But Jesus said, I'll go, and I will be a redeemer, and I'll pay the price that you require, debt for sin. God could not change his mind. He said, you should surely die. So he provided a remedy. But he couldn't change what he had said. You shall surely die, Adam. And all your Adam's family, they shall experience death and separation. Not only separation, but they'd be cast into the lake of fire, which was prepared for the devil, not prepared for man. But the lake of fire was prepared originally for the rebellious demon and rebellious Lucifer that was created for them. Listen. The story about the atonement is often left incomplete. Most people think that the only part of the gospel is just the atonement, the blood that Jesus shed. Now, I want to say something, first of all, and read and let the scriptures speak. I want the scriptures of God, the scriptures in the Bible, to speak to you. All scriptures is given by the inspiration of God. This is what 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture was given to the prophets, given to the men of God, to revelation, inspiration, of invitation from God. That's how the scripture came about. I said, from inspiration, revelation, and invitation by angels. Now, in the Old Testament, you often hear the prophet say, and the word of Jehovah Yahweh came unto me. Or I received the vision of the Lord God, and the angel of God spake to me, and the voice of the living God spake unto me. How things were done from the old, at the beginning of the fall of Adam. The Lord chose a vessel that he could speak to. Then he chose a particular people, Israel, that he could bring salvation through Israel, bring the law, bring truth, bring salvation through the Israel people. Now, the Israel people failed miserably. They rejected the prophets. They rejected Jesus, Isaiah 53. So, but that didn't stop the plan of God of redeeming man. All humanity. The Lord God, Elohim, Yah, Jehovah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Enoch, and of Adam, and Abel, and Noah, and Elijah, and Elisha, and Moses, the same living one God, eternal God, sent his only begotten Son. Now, this is very important that you understand that there is only one plan for redemption of the whole human race. One way. One way, one plan, one sacrifice, one redeemer. You must get this straight. Why Satan has caused the whole world to be under cloud of doctrine and deception when he created false religions in every culture. Every culture except Israel. Every culture in the world in spiritual blindness, not always to their own fault, but they were born into it. And every culture on the earth has some areas of false religion. Only one culture was chosen that the one true God could speak to, and he called them the seed of Abraham, and he called them Israel. The one true God said, I'm going to reveal myself in the midst of all of this darkness, all of the earth, all the deception, all the lies and false religion and false worship that Satan has created. Right now, there's almost 42,000 of religions on the earth. Who do you think that created all these religions? Since the true God and living God had only one plan and one redeemer to save all humanity. Who do you think who thought of us to get into education and into religion and to the culture? How do you see in every culture on the world, whether it's the Roman Empire, Syria, Egypt, Greece, Persian, or whatever you want, Egyptian, they all worship false gods. No wonder how the civilization, they were great in many other things, and they achieved many great things. Egypt promised the greatest culture, which is African. Egypt is African nation, along with Ethiopian, Libra. They probably was the greatest and most one of the most created works of creation, of intelligence and intellect and activity from the Egyptian people. They worship false god, Rome, all of them, demonic gods, worship demons and sorcery and false religion. Satan created this because he wanted to deceive all mankind. And to this day, in every nation, why do you think the gospel has to go to every nation? The gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me make this straight. The gospel of Christ. The redemption story. Now let's read this. Let the scripture speak. In the epistle, in the New Testament, in the book that we refer to as the Bridge Version of the Bible, the Apostle Peter, who walked with Jesus for 3 years and was trained and taught, along with the other 11 original apostles, the Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and 18, As much as we know, and he's talking to primarily a Jewish people in his day, mostly Israel, Paul took the gospel to basically to the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people. But Peter was the first one to introduce non-Jewish people to the gospel in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts. He went to Cornelius, a Roman centurion. He introduced the redemption story to a Roman soldier and his household, the Gentile. We call him Gentile, non-Israel. Now Peter is explaining something in 1 Peter chapter 1 and 18. Peter says, for as much as I know, we are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, as our vain traditions of our fathers, but by the precious blood of Christ, without spot, without blemish. He says the only thing that he knows, what he sees, what he was made known, that the redemption story begins with the blood of Christ. Now, I want to show you something. If the blood of Christ was not completely sufficient to bring man all the way back. But most of you think everything stops at the blood, but the blood is the theme, but we're not completely delivered yet. Let me read this now, because the atonement, the Passover sacrifice, the Lamb of God, the atonement, the penalty paid was not sufficient of itself. Because the gospel is built on three important pillars. We're going to talk about the atonement, the Passover sacrifice. It's not the complete story of redemption, because if the other part was not fulfilled, we still have no hope. I'm going to tell you another part, what most people think is only the blood alone, the lamb slain. Jesus was the immaculate, sinless Lamb of God. Why do Satan attack that? It's two things that Satan attacked. Jesus was not who he, what he said he was. He was not the Christ, the Redeemer. The Jews rejected him. And so the today people count him. The Islam said he didn't do this, and the other people say he didn't do that. And so Satan wants to cloud this issue about the atonement, because it's the most important message in the whole world to redeem and reconcile mankind. Wow. That's why Peter says, as much as I know, we are not redeemed with any other method, any other sacrifice, no other tool, no important thing in the earth was given to redeem mankind. Redemption concludes an important message that people don't talk about, that it's not the blood alone, the atonement, the Passover. We're going to find out what the Apostle Paul says about the gospel having more than one prong, one pillar, the redemption of the shed blood. Something else that people don't know. If Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, had not continued to compel deliverance, and it was not just at the cross and the shed blood, the atonement. Well, let us read this, because I don't want you to take my word for it. That would be wrong. I want you to let the scripture speak about the next step of the redemption and recovery of man. It's found in his letter to the church of Corinth. For the Corinthians in the Greek Empire, Asia Minor, yes. So what is this? In 1 Corinthians, to read that with me, beloved. In 1 Corinthians, yes, let's go over there and check that out. See what the cross is telling us about the complete story. Because people want to stop at the cross and say the blood, that's it, that's it. No, beloved, that's not it. The gospel is not complete. If something else doesn't happen, we'll still be in our sins, even in spite of the blood. Well, let's check this out. Our deliverance and our redemption starts with the blood cleansing us and forgiving us and accepting us in the grace of God. But there's another step. Let's see what it is. Beginning at verse 11, Paul is preaching to the people at Corinth, who's coming from all different religions and different places into the body of Christ, called the redeemed people of God, the covered ones. This is what the apostle Paul, who is one, had the greatest brain, but he was led off into religion and deceived until he met Christ on the road to Damascus, Acts chapter 9. Read the Apostle Paul, his encounter with the risen Christ. Now, this is what the Apostle Paul is revealed and speaks to us. Now, 4, verse 11, 15, 1 Corinthians 11, therefore, if it were they, so we preach and so we believe. Now, this is what we believe about the completion of the gospel. Verse 12, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? You notice all false religions, primarily the biggest, said Jesus did not bodily rise from the dead. That's how you're going to identify a false religion. You're going to start. All of them deny that Jesus bodily rose from the dead. Now check all the religions of the world. They're going to deny, most of them, 95%, that Jesus did not bodily conquered death and rose from the grave. Why did the devil attack this and put this in all in false religions? Paul says in verse 12, now if Christ be preached, 1 Corinthians 15, chapter, verse 12, if Christ that he rose from the dead, how says some among you? Some people are saying this day, millions of them are saying this, that there is no resurrection of the dead. If there is no resurrection, verse 13. But Jesus did not go in there and conquer death, the grave, and Satan. If he didn't, if it was not necessary for him to conquer death and the grave, the power of the grave, and the power of Satan, and took the keys of death and hell from Satan, we still would be lost. So let's get this complete now. If there be no resurrection of the dead, Christ being the first fruit who got out of the grave and conquered death, if there be no resurrection of the dead bodily, had a real body, then is Christ not risen? Verse 14. If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain? Now here's where we get the understanding. See, the blood is, it's not sufficient to bring you all the way to live again. Death had to be conquered. The grave had to be conquered because Satan had the right to hold all people that died because of the sin. So he had the keys of death and hell. So if Jesus did not go down into the heart of the earth where all the people were hiding and conquered death, Satan, and the grave, look what it says. If Christ is not risen, verse 14, then is our preaching in vain, and your faith is also in vain. So your faith just can't be in the atoning blood alone, because the devils would not be complete until Satan is conquered, death and the grave is conquered, and Jesus took the keys and death away from Satan, Revelation 20. Why do you think he went into the heart of the earth, Ephesians 4? If he had just died and that was it, we would still be in our sins in spite of the blood. There will be no deliverance to live in the kingdom and to be raised again. Understand that now. The power of the resurrection and the atonement and the blood sacrifice and Jesus being our lamb bearing our sins in iniquity, Isaiah 53. But then he talks about what brings complete victory, his victory over death and the grave, called the resurrection. That's why Satan fights all religion. Thomas Jesus did not rise again. He did not get up with a body. Oh, this is a fairy tale. Islam and Jehovah is all telling you there is no victory in body that appears. This is the part of the gospel that Satan wants to attack mostly along with the blood sacrifice, because those two things, the blood sacrifice and the power of his victory, is the only thing that assures you will have eternal life and risen again in the eternal city of Jerusalem, New Jerusalem. If Christ is not risen, Paul says in verse 10, then is our preaching in vain, and your faith is in vain. Yea, we are found false witnesses. Look what it says now. Even if we talk about the blood and the atonement, but if we don't talk about the victory that was necessary to bring us all the way, yea, of God, because we have testified of God, the Father, God, that he raised up Christ, the Messiah, that Yah, the eternal God, the Father, raised up his Son, Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. But if Christ rise not, then Christ raised, if Christ be not raised, your faith, my faith, is vain. Why? You are you're yet in your sins. If you don't believe in the power of the resurrection, hallelujah, you're still in your sins. In spite of the blood. Well, I believe the blood. Okay. Let's go to the second pillar that which the redemption is based on. You cannot rise or live again in the with the living God in his presence until you believe in the power of the resurrection. Finally, Christ is raised from the dead. But if Christ, verse 15, is not then risen, and if Christ be not raised, your faith, what are you trusting in? Because you must trust in the blood of the resurrection. If your trust is not in the power of his resurrection, look what Paul, the apostle, says in Romans 10, when he unveils this mystery. If you, in Romans 10, what is it, verse 9 to 13, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe that God has raised him from the dead, why you got to believe in the power of the resurrection? Notice what he says. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, why didn't he say, I confess with thy mouth Jesus, the man? If thou confess the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart, believing in your heart, we're going to get to later on the third poem about the believing in your heart. Why, that's the third pillar. These three pillars, the atonement, the resurrection, and the believing in your heart, are the three grounded pillars of being redeemed. Now, Paul the Apostle unveiled something very important in Romans 10. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth. Oh, yeah, I believe in water baptism. I just hope since people are going to lose it, they lose their way. Yes, I believe in water baptism. We don't care to tell you why about water baptism. But I don't want to talk about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but most people don't want to talk about that part. Okay, let's go on to this. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, that Yah raised him from the dead, and believe in your heart about the blood and the atonement, and believe in the power of the resurrection that gave you assured victory over death and over the grave to live with him, thou shalt be saved or redeemed or delivered. Now listen to what it says in Corinthians 15. If Christ, verse 17, be not raised, your faith is in vain. You are yet in your sins. Even though the blood has been shed, the atonement, the Passover lamb, Israel was given a foreshadow of what the gospel would come in the future. Israel, when it was delivered out of slavery, out of bondage, they had to put the blood on the doorpost. As Moses said, when the death angel come and kill all the firstborn of humans, animals, and everybody, all firstborn, he said, and when I see the blood, when the covenant was made, the agreement that when the death angel would only recognize one thing, not religion, not any religion. God don't recognize anything religion. That's why he told Moses the only thing that death was going to recognize was the covenant of a blood of a lamb, a goat, a blood goat upon your doorpost. That was the only single thing. Not you being religious, not you being nice, not you being good, not you being this color, not you being this culture, this intelligence. But when I see the blood covenant, the death said, I'll recognize one thing. He would pass over. That's why Jesus' death is called the Passover lamb. When I see the atoning blood, your faith in the blood and in the resurrection, the victory that Christ won, we confess that and believe it. Now, 1 Corinthians 15 continues, verse 17, if Christ be not raised from the dead, then our faith in the blood, in the Passover lamb, in the atonement, and in the resurrection, the power of his victory, body rose from the dead and conquered the grave, death, and Satan. Why is that the key? If you don't believe that, you're still in your sins, and you're not going to be raised in his glory. Paul says that if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. You are yet in your sins. And they which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. All those people who fallen asleep in Christ, who do not believe in the power of the resurrection of the blood, they are still in their grave and going to destruction. Those that don't believe power and deny the power of Christ conquered the grave, death, and the grave, you can't live again because he won the victory for you to live again, to be raised, to live in eternity in the presence of the new Jerusalem, in the presence of the living God. They which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. Do you not know that if Jesus had not went down and accomplished, then we would not be the complete story of redemption, which is redemption, the scapegoat, the lamb slain, but then justifying us before God. But then we had to be reconciled to God, because if we died just with the blood and Jesus did not conquer death, grave, and Satan, we will not live again. You not know that, did you? You thought I just believe in the blood. The redemption story was based foremost on the blood sacrifice, but it's not through with that. The other part of it is, how do I live again when Satan has the power of death and the grave? Because Adam sins, he had all the right to have the keys of death and hell. Who going to go into the heart of the earth after he had died? I know Jehovah believed this, and I know the other group believe this. I'm going to let the scriptures speak to you. I'm not concerned about what they believe. I'm going to let the scriptures speak. All scriptures given by inspiration, by revelation and visitation from the living God. The Apostle Paul was called to preach the mysteries of God, Ephesians 1, 2, and 3, that was given the task to unfold the mysteries, hidden mysteries of the kingdom of God in the New Testament, to open our understanding, to enlighten us with what things the prophets of the old did not fully understand. Even though they had the message, they did not accomplish all the things they saw. The prophets did not understand all the mysteries. Daniel said the book was filled up. Revelation, Daniel wants to know this, wants to know this, that. Fill up the book. Fill the book, Daniel. Until the end time, I will unfold it. I will choose my apostles. I'll choose, Paul and Peter. They're going to be given the mysteries, because I will dwell with them and in them, and they'll become new creations in me. And this is the New Testament of my blood and my resurrection. Now will be the days of things that were hidden will begin to be unfolded and unveiled. Listen, the resurrection, in Ephesians, when you read the foreword, Christ descended after he was lifted up, before he ascended back to heaven, he first descended in the center of where all those that died believing in the promise of 3:15 of Genesis, the Redeemer. Why is the water so muddied around the world about who is Christ and what he did? What is he, the Messiah, the Redeemer? Is he the only solution? Why don't you let the scripture speak to you? Well, I don't know about that. And, it's a white man's book or this book, and they put it together and all that. I don't believe in all that. Okay. You know what Jesus said in the 10th chapter of John? And I have to go by this in John chapter 17 and chapter 10. Jesus says, 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. Jesus said in his gospel in John, the apostle John, he says, my word is truth. And why he says that, my word is truth? For I am the word, and I am the truth, I'm the life. And actually, I'm the creator. John chapter 1. He was in the world. The world was made by him. He was God, and they didn't even know him. John chapter 1. The creator, the redeemer, was walking in flesh and became the son of God, the seed of David, and the house of Judah to salvation. Why did he become that? Put on flesh to shed his blood to redeem us. So God could not redeem us. It took someone to die, a sinless sacrifice, to pay the price so that we would be not judged, so that we would not be judged, but set free and forgiven and cleansed. Now we must believe the second part, because if he doesn't get out of that grave, if Christ does not come out of that grave, all is still lost. If Jesus does not conquer death and the grave and the power of Satan and took the keys of Satan, had a legal right to have the keys of death and hell. Do you know that? Because of Adam's sin and all his descendants, who could redeem them and deliver them? The power of the resurrection is why all the false religions must come up with another answer Satan has given them to not believe in the sinless Passover lamb and the resurrection of his power. Look at all religions in the world. What separates the true believers in Christ, which is called true Christianity, Bible believer, Redeemer, what separates them from all the religions of the world? Blood sacrifice and the resurrection of the Messiah, the Christ. Yes, go and look at the religions around the world. Where's the controversy about? Was Jesus really the immaculate, sinless Lamb of God who shed his blood to redeem, to deliver? Was he the Passover Lamb of Israel to redeem, to make a way for all people to be forgiven, to be cleansed, to be accepted, to be found blameless and faultless? Romans chapter 5 explains that. Romans 5, Galatians 3 makes it very clear. Romans 8 make it even clearer how we are reconnected with the living God and reconciled. It's called being reconciled to the Father. Now, wow, being reconciled. We'll talk about that next week. We talk about if you deny the power of the resurrection of Christ, that he breaks the bands of death and grave in Matthew 27, verse 21, Matthew 27, verse 50 to 53 says, when Jesus conquered death and the grave, he rose, and Jesus is called the first fruits. The two messages, the atonement and first fruit, resurrection victory. Why do they keep the Lord's Supper, flesh and blood, in the Christian faith? To remind us of the most important victory. He died and he rose again. No, not that he just died. It's not sufficient. Sprinkle the blood. He had to go into the heart of the earth, win the victory, and then go into heaven and sprinkle the blood. Sprinkle the books of all the curses that was before and on every mankind. He sprinkled the blood in heaven. Then he first he went into the heart of earth and took the keys to death, conquered Satan, death, and the grave. Now, no religion in the world can claim this. You know why they can't claim it? Because they can't. Because Satan could not do that. Only one redeemer was promised, one a deliverer. No religion in the world. They may reclaim this, and they got power through demons to do this and power through demons to do this. But you did none of the religions, not even the largest religion, Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, none of them can make this claim, yes, that their prophet got up. Muhammad couldn't get up. Buddha, none of these people could get up. Conquered death and the grave. Jesus appeared to 500 people at one time after his resurrection. 500 people saw him. Not only the 12 and the other disciples, and the other women were the first woman at the tomb. The women that followed Jesus was the first one that believed. Now, what am I saying? Do that mean they are called or ordained to a priesthood of office? I didn't say nothing of the sort. I said they were the first witnesses. I said the women that followed Jesus and Mary, the other women, they were the first witnesses that believed and went to the tomb. Hallelujah. And they were the first one to receive the resurrection message. Go tell my men, disciples who are running scared and hiding, go deliver this message that I'm risen and I will meet them in Galilee. Why was that message given to the women? Because they were the only one believed was at the tomb. That's why. Where were the men? Running, hiding, and scared. Just like many of them are today. Now, I'm not putting all men down, because God used men to be the leaders and head, and all men are not running scared, but there are a lot of them are. They're running from home, from responsibility of children, marriage, and working, taking responsibility for this and that. And so the Lord uses women sometimes in strange ways because there's no man there. Because he is sovereign. I say he is sovereign. He can use anybody he wants to, anywhere, anytime, anything he chooses in his wisdom. I don't mean that he set his church up and put 12 women, because, no, he did not mean for women to be apostles and lead the church, but he will use women where his sovereign will is needed to be done. I'll say this again. When his sovereign will need to be done, he will use whoever is available and say yes to him. Say they was over in some weird country and there was no man willing to take up the task to witness the gospel. He used a woman, a boy, an enemy to bear witness to the gospel to those people. He would use somebody to teach those people. Hallelujah. You cannot tie the hand of God and say, well, if there ain't no men there, they can't get the gospel. Mm-mm. God is more wise than you. And he's not hung up because there's no man there. He's not going to bear witness to the gospel. Mary bore Jesus 9 months. If a woman can bear Jesus for 9 months, surely can be used to tell the story like the women at the tomb to tell the story. I didn't say nothing about being ordained to no priest or priesthood. I said they can witness and evangelize and declare like the woman at the tomb said, go tell my disciples. Go tell my disciples. Go give them this message. They can, in the New Testament, go give the message and the resurrection and the healing and the deliverance and the victory and the triumph in Jesus Christ. Now, the two pillars we talked about, the atonement, the Passover, and the power of the resurrection, we will talk about what kind of faith, I'm going to tell you about the third prong of the gospel. All three of these prongs, the house has got to be built on pillars. You can't leave out pillars and build a house on one pillar. I know people want to build the pillar on just the atonement, the sacrificial lamb. But the redemption, the house is built on more than one pillar. We talked about the power of the resurrection. If you do not believe, do not confess that Jesus rose, you do not have the gospel, and we're still in our sins. In spite of you saying, I bleed blood. Well, I just let the scripture speak. I don't have to argue about it. There's no need to argue about it. Just let the word of God speak and argue with the scriptures. Argue with me. Argue with the epistles. Why don't you go home and read 1 Corinthians 15, 5th chapter of Ephesians, chapter of Romans. See, if Jesus did not take the keys of death and hell from Satan and conquer Satan and death in the grave, where would we be in spite of the blood sacrifice? We will not live again. Hallelujah. We will not be raised from the dead because Satan has the power of death and the grave yet. Hallelujah. Until the King of Glory come in, and Satan jumped back. I can just imagine him when the King of Glory went down and hardly saw the Redeemer, the promised one was alive and well, and death could not hold him, and the grave could not hold him, and Satan couldn't hold him. Rose again, but he didn't come by himself. He loosed the captive, Ephesians 4. Who was captive? Abraham, Isaac, Job, all of them that believed, all of them, they were still held in the power of that place. They could not go into the heavens. Jesus won the complete victory. That's why Job said, I know my Redeemer liveth. In the last days I shall see him for myself. Well, Job saw him, but Jesus went into the heart of Job, saw him, said, help, he's here. He's here, boys. Abraham, he's here. Let's go up. And Matthew 27 said, he loosed the captive. And what happened? Many bodies of the grave, many bodies of the grave rose with Jesus, fresh fruits, and appeared, these resurrected, to many in the city of Jerusalem as a witness. Listen, it says these many of these risen saints and risen prophets appeared to many in Jerusalem to let them know that Jesus actually had conquered death in the grave. He not only was the Redeemer, he was the conqueror. If you don't believe that Jesus is the conqueror, you may believe he's the Redeemer and the Lamb's Gate, but do you believe that he's the conqueror? He conquered Satan, death, hell, and the grave, and redeemed us from sin, sickness, disease, poverty, and oppression. But he did something else to complete. He rose again. Why is that so important? Why the important? Because if he didn't rise again, that means we're still in our sins, and everybody died, and they're still lost. Ah, glory, glory, glory. Let's tell the whole story of the redemption. Next day, we're going to talk about the why is faith important. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And understand what kind of faith is he's talking about, and what is the faith that you have to believe in. Now, people say, I have faith in God. But I said, what do you mean by that? Well, I have faith in the church. I have faith in religion. I have faith in the government. That's all good to a certain degree, to a certain point. But I'm talking about the faith that calls you to be found blameless and justified before the living God, Romans 5. Well, we love you, Saint. We continue this role with the redemption story of the one plan and one purpose of the living true God of Israel who sent his only begotten. Only begotten. Keep that in mind. John 3:16 said the only one. So all these religions can take a step aside. Eyes are open. Yeshua Mashiach. He's called Jesus in Spanish. Issa in Arabic, Issa. But in the Hebrew language, he's called Yeshua, HaMashiach. In the English language, we call him Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thanks be to God. We want to give you the victory today. Why don't you, by faith, invite him to come into your life? Wherever, begin to join him by faith, saying, come, Lord Jesus, I believe you, the risen Christ, the Redeemer. Wash my sin, deliver me, make me new, in Jesus' name. I love you. This is Brother Lee signing out. I'll see you next Saturday and Sunday. Brother Nathaniel Hunt will be on all through the week, Talk Rock Radio. Tune in to our brother, Ambassador for Christ, on Talk Rock Radio, I think 7 o'clock every evening, in Jesus' name. We love you with the love of God. Be blessed now. God wants to bless you. He sent Jesus, the Christ.